Thank you very much, and it's very good to be with you this Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in. You've taken time from your schedule to join me, and let's just get after it. Okay. I read years ago in a textbook that they think that the average Roman soldier was 5'7", 135 pounds. And of course, when you think about those numbers, you're thinking, 135? You're serious? You mean he would strike fear in the heart of his enemy when he would approach on foot? Well, evidently, yeah. Where did I get this from? Anyway, let me read it to you. The hardy Roman soldier carried 80 pounds plus armor, and he walked 20 miles a day. Could you just think about that for a moment? Do you think that maybe carrying around 80 pounds of gear plus the weight of all your armor, and in doing that, you walk 20 miles a day? What kind of strength do you think that you might have developed, or endurance or stamina? Do you think your oxygen levels are pretty good? I'm guessing so. So his fare consisted of coarse bread, porridge of either millet or lentils, and his diet was supplemented with what's called garum, or liquamen, which is fermented fish sauce. You ever heard of fish sauce? This condiment supplied him with nutrients from the animal kingdom on a daily basis. Made from the heads and the organs of fish, it is especially rich in iodine and vitamins A and D, and thus contributed to the robust strength of the Roman legions. I think we kind of escape with the idea that we need a life of comfort and ease. You know, that's the problem that I see with everybody's immune system today. Everybody's trying to run and escape from helping their immune system do its job. They run toward foods that have no nutrients. They only have sugar. I think I told like 7 different people this week, you can't kill an infection and feed it massive amounts of sugar at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, do you get what I'm saying? It's like with cancer. You can't give it every morsel of fuel to eat called sugar and expect your body to rise to the occasion to feed it. You can't do that. The number one predictor of all time of a chronic low-grade infection that never goes away, or any infection, is going to be the amount of sugar. So here's what you got with sugar. You got something that totally depresses the immune system. It keeps it from being robust, which is what you want. And at the same time, it feeds the infection. It gives it everything it needs to keep on reproducing and growing in your body. But see, just like this Roman soldier, you need stress on your body. You got to quit coddling your immune system. I watch people, I won't mention his name, but bathing his hands in antibacterial gel. And I asked him, I said, what are you doing that for? Anyway, maybe not the best conversation starter. But people have been totally brainwashed. Brainwashed into thinking if they can just kill every germ known to man, that they're going to be okay. I had a really good conversation with a man yesterday. I really liked it. But to make a long story short, he asked me what I believed. He said, do you believe the germ theory? Which I don't know if you know about the germ theory, but here it goes. Germs or bacteria or viruses are the cause of our problems. And what we really need is an antibiotic that's strong enough to kill the germs. Okay, you get that? So every time that you're sick, you have a runny nose, or who knows, maybe it's just an allergy or hay fever. You have a cold, you got a sore throat, you got a little bit of diarrhea from a tummy ache, you got some gunk in your lungs that's coming up in the form of yellow or green phlegm or snot. Well, if you believe in the germ theory, then that's what you're going to focus your energy on. What am I going to do to take an antibiotic or some drug that's going to help defeat the bacteria? Did you ever stop and think for just a second that God designed in your body an immune system? You know what? You know what human beings need? They need work. I want to see a show of hands right now. How many people flourish spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically when they have no work in front of them to do? Okay, you get where I'm coming from? So if you have children, and let's just say your children have lost their jobs and they're out of work, what does that do to them to put them on unemployment instead of working? Well, you already know the answer to that. It ruins them. God knew what he was doing. He gave us work to do, and work is excellent. It makes you feel good. You get to look back at, you know, what your hands were able to accomplish, and it's good for you. It builds your body. It builds strength. Well, what are you supposed to do with the immune system? Well, quit coddling it. And that's just the truth of it. You know what? If you're scared to go outside and put your bare foot on the dirt, then you're terrified over nothing, because you need all those microbes and germs to come in contact with your body. You do. I was reading a story this morning. I meant to say study. And they only had one predictable value. How many kids did you grow up with? So for a child that was an only child, they absolutely had the most allergies, the most hay fever, the most rashes of their skin, the most asthma. Did I mention rashes? But you know where I'm coming from. But when you're raised with siblings, well, guess what? They touch each other. When I see a kid with a snotty, runny nose, that's not the end of the world. It's not. Now, hopefully, we can do something with that and try to train the immune system to be very strong and robust. But your immune system is just like you. It needs work to do. So give it some work to do. Well, how do you do that? Go put your hands in the dirt. You want to plant something? All right. Go to Dory's Gardens today and buy a bunch of plants, and then put your fingers in the soil and touch the dirty microbes. Actually, your immune system cannot do its job unless you have microbes in contact with it. They're doing you a favor. Let me give you one example. Probably 5-6 years ago, I read this article, and it came from Germany. That's where it originated. And in this particular study, what they did was they examined men only. There wasn't a woman in the study. But in this particular study, they took men and they just tested them for a type of a bacteria called Helicobacter pylori. Sometimes it goes by the name of Campylobacter as a close cousin. But this organism is supposed to naturally occur in your stomach. And so in this study, when men tested positive for high amounts of Helicobacter pylori, even though they didn't have any symptoms at all, there was no acid reflux, they had no indigestion, there was no heartburn, they didn't have hiatal hernias, they didn't have projectile diarrhea or constipation, they felt great. But the doctor said, hey, you've got high levels of Helicobacter pylori. And the man said, so what? And the doctor said, well, we know better than you do, and so what we're going to do is we're going to prescribe a course of antibiotic therapy, because that's the germ theory. You got to kill something if it shows up in if the immune system is testing positive for it, right? Or can we question that? That's why I'm talking about this. All right, number one. These men were placed on antibiotic therapy to kill the evil Helicobacter pylori. Well, you're probably asking the question, well, what were the results, Dr. Morgan? How did that play out? Was there a benefit or was it a failure? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it was a total failure. Because a large percentage of these men, I want to say it was 74 to 78%, that in 6 months, all they did was take an antibiotic. And the vast majority of these men, they started developing heartburn, indigestion, acid reflux. They had to be super careful what they ate. So no lasagna or pepperoni pizza or roast beef or barbecue for them before they go to bed. Oh my goodness, no way. And so these men said, what gives here? We were perfectly fine until you gave this antibiotic. Well, see, this is my point. Maybe you're supposed to have a little bit of Helicobacter pylori. For what reason, pray tell? to keep your immune system doing its job. You don't want your body becoming lazy, do you? Do you want your kids becoming lazy? No. Do you want your immune system becoming lazy? No. So you've got to expose your body to dirt. I know this sounds crazy, but what happens if you drop some food on the floor? Should you eat it? You already know what the answer is. Yes. Now, the one thing that I'm not real keen on, and I think I live in reality here. It's your call, but I personally am not going to go up and kiss somebody at the front door of Walmart if they're coughing and have a red face and there's beads of sweat and they got green stuff coming out of their nose. No, I'm going to use some common sense here. But what I'm saying is your immune system needs a continual challenge if it's going to be able to function. So the whole idea that you're going to isolate yourself and have your immune system function better, no, it's only going to adapt to laziness, which means it's going to become more and more sluggish. Now, I understand some people have compromised immune systems, and this is like a whole different ball of wax. But what we need to do is we need to come up with some type of a plan to help continually strengthen the body. And here's one of the ways of doing that. You know, we think that every drop and morsel of food needs to be packaged, sterilized, pasteurized, kill everything in it to give it a long shelf life. Well, that just benefits one group of people. The food manufacturers that make a bunch of money off Pop-Tarts and donuts, okay? That ain't health. So the only way that you produce real health, or one concept, is you're going to have to eat some living foods. And so if you go out to your garden and you pick lettuce, yeah, I don't care if you rinse it off, but you can't rinse off all the germs and the microbes from that leaf lettuce that you're going to make your salad from, and plus it's raw. So you're introducing microbes, and these microbes on the plant, they help challenge the immune system. Have you ever heard of kefir or kombucha or kefir water? You ever heard of raw yogurt and raw cheese, fermented butter? There's sour cream used to be totally fermented. What do you think ketchup used to be? Totally fermented food. That's what the fish sauce is that these Roman soldiers carried around with them. It is by no mistake that they were able to perform at a very, very high level. And it just so happens they're eating fermented foods every day as part of their diet. Now, I guess this is eventually what turned into ketchup. But yeah, I know it sounds weird, but at one point in time, ketchup was a fermented food. You could probably make your own. You ever heard of pickles or pickled okra? Or does anybody ever drink kombucha out there? You ever heard of sauerkraut? Oh my goodness. I put this to the test on a daily basis, so I get to see what happens. I got a front row seat on health. Every person that walks in my door is my own personal guinea pig. Whoops, I just let my secret out. No, you know I'm joking about that, but it's good to make observations and ask questions. But when people start eating a forkful of raw sauerkraut prior to the meal, their digestive tract starts to improve. Now, what are you doing? You're giving your immune system a chance to do its job properly. You got to come to terms with it. Probably 90 to 95% of your entire immune function is housed and contained right there in your gut. And so you're going to have to start feeding your gut. You want to have a bunch of toxic, germy bacteria and viruses inside of you? Well, you know what's been shown to do that? Drinking Diet Coke. You want to totally mess up your body? Diet Coke will do that. Now, by the way, I'm going to ask you a question. Do we have the right to speak freely? Is the freedom of speech protected? Well, if it is, then I can say that Diet Coke is toxic garbage for the body. You know, I've learned a lot of things the hard way. But one of the things that I've learned is how toxic these artificial sweeteners really are. You know what? And you could say, you could use whatever justification you want about how they don't really harm you, but you know what? You don't know. And you know what? You can say that I don't know. But in the real world, I get to observe people that have been taking these, and I see their health go downhill. And they tell me all about it. If a person says, Dr. Morgan, I'm totally exhausted. All I do is lay in bed all day long. I'm so discouraged. I have no hope. I don't see any way out of this. Well, you know, I'm sympathetic to them. But the ball's always in their court. You have more options than what you realize. But you got to make your body work for you. That's why you need a little bit of dirt on your body to help your immune system work right. One of the ways you can do that is just by getting out there and digging in the dirt with your hands. Touching things that are dirty. If you want to use antibacterial soap, you can, but it's going to wreck your immune system. All you're doing is you're stripping away the microbes that you actually need to give your immune system a reason to work for a living. And you know what? I'm not the only one to tell you this. You know that you're going to have contact with some dirt in order to be healthy. Have you ever heard that people that live in homes with dogs and cats, maybe even rats, and I hate to say it this way, but even cockroaches have been shown to be beneficial. I don't personally like them, though. I don't want them in the house. It's almost a little scary if you never see a bug anywhere around a house. You think, what have they sprayed around this house? You know, I came across an article the other day that was talking about the more Roundup that is used, the more blood clots people have. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, there's got to be something to this. Isn't that what everybody's having a hard time with the COVID-19 blood clots? Isn't that what they're having a hard time with the vaccines is blood clots? Yeah. If you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open, and please don't make it easy for me. Make me work for it. That's the way it's supposed to be. So if you have a question, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Let's work to improve our health, because that's the only option that you've got. And either you just look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, I am telling my body what to do, not the other way around. What are you going to let your body do? Are you going to let your body say, I'm too weak and too tired, I need to rest? No, make your body obey you. Okay, I didn't have the buttons pushed. Now I do. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Black toenails. What will you need to do?
Well, who has them?
Me.
Okay, how long you had them?
A couple months.
Do you know of any reason why they should be black? Did you get them smashed or something?
Oh, nothing like that.
Do they have a bluish quality to them?
No, sir.
Does it look like blood has formed underneath them or no?
No.
Now, do you mean black or do you mean a different color?
They're kind of black, dark.
Okay. Sometimes, and I know this sounds weird, but there is a vitamin that's called thiamine. It's known as vitamin B1.
Okay.
The other day I was reading about symptoms of thiamine deficiency, and it makes your fingertips and your nails turn darker. Now, just let me kind of run through this, okay? Because I'm not saying every point that I'm going to make is even relevant to you, but if I told you what are the top things that would rapidly deplete the body of thiamine and make you utterly deficient, well, the first one is called anxiety or stress or fear. It's that feeling that human beings have inside of them. They go, this ain't going to go well. I don't like the way that I feel. Even though I may look calm on the outside, I've got this intense pressure on the inside. And maybe that pressure is to, you know, measure up or to get more work done. I talk to a lot of very successful people, and a lot of them say, I'm very afraid that I will not be able to keep up this pace or do everything. And I get that. You get that, don't you?
I'll be right. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing that causes a loss of B1, besides being stressed or anxious, is drinking alcohol. There's not many things that cause a rapid depletion of vitamin B1 like alcohol does. But coffee and tea and sugar do it also. So the typical American diet is probably causing a massive loss of B1. And so the more B1 that we're deficient in, the more that blood begins to clot. And so usually it pools up in places that are furthest away from the heart, so that's usually the toenails before the fingernails. But I had a guy the other day sent me a picture of his fingernails saying, why are they dark and blue? And I'm looking at him, I'm going, that ain't normal. He said he went to a cardiologist, and the cardiologist said, the color of your nails has nothing to do with your health, and it makes no difference what you eat. It's all genetics. And I'm thinking, okay, I think I've heard that before. So is there any possibility that you're under an extraordinary amount of stress?
Yeah, I'm a little stressed. Yeah, a little stressed, yes.
Just in general, is it the events of the world or family or just stuff you're dealing with?
I guess a combination of all.
Okay. And so here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Start rubbing fresh lemon juice on your toenails. I'm going to say that lemon juice is the universal solvent, or one of them, along with water. Let's see if that helps dissolve any debris that may be accumulating on your toenails. You got nothing to lose. I mean, it's just lemon juice. What could go wrong?
Okay.
I mean, maybe if you stand by a fire ant bed, that could go wrong. No, I think I wasted your time right there. So if you would try those things right there, but what you probably need is you just need more oxygen in the body. Oxygen is the universal healer. Anytime that toenails change color, the solution's always oxygen. And so you get oxygen when you eat raw foods. You get oxygen when you go for walks. I kind of think it's comical, but when I read about the Roman soldiers, they averaged 20 miles a day. Now, if you turned it around on me and say, hey, Dr. Morgan, do you walk 20 miles a day? You already know what I'm going to say, don't you? The answer is no. How do you get enough exercise?
No, I don't get enough. I just do a little walking. That's it.
I think if you set your mind like Flint that you're going to walk for an hour a day, and if you make it interesting. Now, I'm not a huge fan of just walking on flat surfaces, but I understand why people do that. But the body needs a challenge. And so if you could walk up the side of a hill or down through the woods and over rocks. Have you ever been to the planet Mars before? I haven't.
No.
But across the street, it's just nothing but sand and dirt and rocks. And I love walking over there. There's never anybody there except the occasional coyote. Usually when I see one about 400 yards away, he's moving pretty fast. I keep whistling for him to come over, but he never does. So the more that you walk, I think what you'll do is you'll start to open up your blood flow and your circulation. The other nutrient that I always think about in this case is going to be magnesium.
Okay. Take that.
So magnesium, good. I think that's a very smart choice. I was looking at book titles last night, and there was one book title about how, written by a doctor, how you can heal the body with magnesium alone. I thought to myself, you know what? I really can't argue with that. Because magnesium is so critical for increasing oxygenation of the blood. That's one of the reasons why any plant you consume that contains chlorophyll, and that's what plants do, that's got magnesium. At the very center of a chlorophyll molecule, you got magnesium. That's why I like olive oil. It looks like it's almost green or yellow because that's chlorophyll in there that gives it that color. And so if you start walking barefooted a little bit on the grass or the dirt, like if there was a track near the house and you just wanted to walk up and down the football field, maybe you could do that. But I think if you set your mind that you're going to start walking, we can change the color of those toenails back to their natural, you know, pinkish color that demonstrates high amounts of oxygen.
Okay.
So, give it a shot. See what happens.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Have a great day. Bye-bye. All righty. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a line officially open. It's 903-586-5257. And I will get you right in and try to answer whatever questions you have. So if we go backwards just for a second, I'm trying to give you the concept that your body has got to have some stress to be able to function properly. Does that make sense? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How
Let
are you?
Me turn my radio off.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
That's better.
I'm sorry, your ears are hurting.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know that I can ever forgive you for that. But anyway, go ahead.
Please try.
I will.
If you had... I have a granddaughter that's got two or three small gallstones. What would you recommend she do? She does not want to eventually have surgery.
Well, the good news is if they're small, the body can just easily eject them, evict them, push them out, get rid of them. It's not hard. So here's two or three things that she might just prayerfully consider. Number one, she's got to avoid eating pork and probably eggs for probably the next, let me see, pork, onion, eggs, oranges. Did I mention onions yet? So no fried onion rings, but if you avoid fried greasy foods, that's going to be a start in the right direction. That'll stop the inflammation of the gallbladder right there.
Okay.
If you could pass on that she needs to eat one green salad a day. Now, my wish is that she would use a salad dressing that's based on olive oil and maybe a little bit of ginger or apple cider vinegar. That way, when she eats it, she can start the process of trying to heal the gallbladder. So great foods for the gallbladder are going to be cherries. Believe it or not, beef is usually very, very good for the gallbladder and the bile ducts.
Okay.
I didn't say chicken fried steak, but beef itself. It could be a hamburger patty that she makes herself. And so avocados, sweet potatoes are really, really good. And one of the best ones of all time is going to be beets. So every day she could do this. She could drink what's called unfiltered apple juice. Unfiltered apple juice looks like you got a whole bunch of sediment at the bottom of it and you can't see through it because they haven't removed all the particulate or all the fiber and the other nutrients that are found in it. So if she could start drinking at least 2 to 3 glasses of that unfiltered apple juice every day, there is an enzyme that's found in unfiltered apple juice called pectinase. And pectinase is really, really cool because it helps dissolve gallstones. The other thing that I think is just essential is lemons. Lemons are so good at helping to break down and dissolve gallstones so they can be passed more easily.
So lemon water would be really good for her.
It really, really would.
Okay.
If she told me she's in pain and she's really, really desperate, then probably what I would do is I'd take a blender and I would put one small beet in the blender and maybe 12 ounces of apple juice, maybe even 16 of that unfiltered apple juice, and then take the juice of 1 to 2 lemons and then maybe 1 to 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, and I would just blend that sucker up and drink it down. And that's going to be a formula that's very, very good healing an inflamed gallbladder. Because when the gallbladder's happy, it can spit those stones right out. Easy.
Okay.
Now, if she wants to catch them, that's what cheesecloth is for, and I don't know if she does.
Yeah.
But if she did that for a couple of weeks and just focused on one green salad a day and eating a little bit more raw food, but typically, when the gallbladder's upset and there's gallstones, you probably need to avoid fried foods for a while. Give your body a rest. Give it a vacation so it can repair itself.
Okay. That sounds good. What about a beet salad, grating up some beets and
making
a salad out of them?
It is a brilliant suggestion.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're so welcome. I appreciate your phone call, and I wish her the very best. By the way, how old is she?
She'll be 40.
Hang on just a second. Did you just tell me that she was your granddaughter?
Yes.
Okay, let me do the math on this. 40.
She's a little overweight. That'd help if she'd lose a little weight, too.
Yes, and so what'll happen is, and your gallbladder is so critical. You know, doctors 100 years ago, you know what they used to call the gallbladder? They called it the trash can. And so I'm not trying to make a joke by saying this, but if she can clean up her diet and not put trash in it, then her trash can will become clean. So, yeah, and that's where walking comes in. And I don't know what condition her legs and knees are in. I've got my calculator right here.
Well,
if you have a granddaughter that's 40 and you were 30 when you had your son that had the daughter, that would make you, oh, my goodness, there's no way.
I'm working on old age. It's creeping up on me fast.
Well, thank you so much for your phone call. I hope you have a great weekend, ma'am.
Thank you. You do the same.
Thanks a bunch.
We're blessed to have you on the radio.
Well, you're very nice and sweet, and thank you for those words. Take care. Bye. Okay, there's a phone line once again open, 586-5257. Okay. All right. You want me to start talking about stuff, or you want me to take a phone call? Okay, I'll take a phone call since that's what you want. Hello, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, how are you doing today?
Good. Are you in your car?
Yes, but I turned my volume.
Okay, perfect. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. The main question I wanted to ask...
Your phone is breaking up just a little bit.
Hold on.
There you go.
Can you hear me now better?
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
Okay. In 2016, I became very ill, and I developed cellulitis. And I have continued to have, you know, the alligator skin at the bottom of both legs. And I have asked probably 10 doctors and nurses, and there's nothing they can do, and it will never go away. I need some sort of a home remedy.
Okay.
I think.
Now, I know that I'm just making this sound very, very simple, and that's not exactly, you know, what I'm trying to do, but it's just for the sake of radio, that's the way I'm going to do it. If I can compel you not to eat a lick of sugar, that's going to be a move in the right direction. As a matter of fact, I tell you to give up grains totally. No wheat, no flour, no rice.
Yes, I don't eat a whole lot of that. I'm trying to watch that because I am diabetic.
And that's what we got to do. We got to get your blood sugar to come down to somewhere around 90 to stop the infection. And that's what cellulitis is. It just means there's an infection that's feeding on the debris that's building up in your lower legs. And so I'm not trying to tell you on the radio that your legs are dirty, but your legs are dirty, and we got to clean them up.
Right.
And the way to do this is, number one, you got to start putting your legs in buckets of ice-cold water for about 10 minutes a day.
Now, what kind of water was it?
Ice cold water.
Oh, okay.
You just take just submerge your lower legs in 5-gallon buckets, put water in there, and add some ice to it to make them really, really cold.
Okay.
And here's what your legs are going to say. Oh, no, we're about to freeze to death. Is she trying to kill us? And that will send a signal to grow new arteries and blood vessels. That's what you have to have with cellulitis. And so...
Yeah.
If by faith or through faith you could start walking barefoot in the grass, then you're releasing a chemical messenger that's telling your body, we need to grow more arteries and more veins so we can deliver more oxygen and more white blood cells to clean up the area.
Okay, that would be real good because I live close to some woods and I have a nice big lawn, and I do try to get out there with the dogs. Pretty often, I have Parkinson's, but I get out there as much as I can to do those things.
And that's what Parkinson's mainly is. It's a toxicity issue, and so you're just trying to clean the body. So if you had access to an infrared sauna, I'd use it every day if you could.
Well, I also take a lot of vitamins like magnesium and...
Like I said, if you had access to a sauna, I would use that every day if you could.
No, I don't have one of those, but
well, then
I do all those other things.
There you go. We'll start walking for a minimum of 30 minutes a day barefooted. It may be that you have to retrain your body to increase its blood flow and circulation. Walking will do that. I've seen the worst varicose veins just about completely disappear and go away when somebody walks an hour a day. So I know that.
Great.
Ma'am?
I said, that sounds great.
Well, I realize it's a challenge when you have Parkinson's because you just don't really have the motor control that you used to, and I don't want you to fall and have an accident. But the other thing, the other thing with cellulitis is if you would just eat two meals a day, what this means is if you get all the food that you're ever going to eat in a six-hour window, that means you're fasting for 8 hours a day, 18 hours a day. And when you fast for 18 hours a day, your body says, oh, great, she's not going to give us any breakfast today. What are we going to do? Your body will start to eat itself. And this is how your immune system starts to eat and remove all the debris that's in your lower legs so you can be free of cellulitis. You could, you could very easily start rubbing lemon juice all over your legs once a day. And then once the lemon juice soaks in, all you got to do is just rub fresh extra virgin olive oil on it. The darker, the better. Let your skin drink it up.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, if all we do is respond to infections, well, that's going to be a never-ending story, right?
Yes.
So we got to find a way to get your terrain stronger. So I would rather strengthen your blood vessels and strengthen the tissues of your legs and your skin. But I want your skin to regain its youthful luster again. So
Me too.
You could even rub fresh avocado all over it if you wanted to. Your skin will totally drink it up.
I eat a lot of those, but yeah, I could try that.
Sure, you got nothing to lose. But if your blood sugar comes down from where it is to, say, in the 90s, then you can turn all this around.
Yes, I try to maintain. I'm kind of new at the diabetes. I take pills, not shots.
Mm-hmm. Well, that means you're voting to help yourself if you take like a supplement or a remedy.
Yes.
How much time are you out in the sun?
Maybe 3 times a week, probably an hour or so.
I think if you start
with the dog.
Good. What kind of dog is it?
I have 2 little small ones.
You mean
one? One itty bitty white fuzz ball, and then another one.
Are they super ferocious?
No, they think they are.
Oh. But their attitude, they have a good attitude, right?
Oh, very good attitude.
Well, if you could sunbathe a minimum of 30 minutes a day with your legs, that would go a long way because you want that ultraviolet infrared spectrum of light penetrating your skin. If it does, that's what's going to heal. It's going to be free.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm at Walmart, and extra dark virgin oil and lemons and avocados. That's pretty much what you were saying.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that sounds great. The walking part is...
Now, when it comes
to... I do the best.
Good. Well, I'm proud of you. In the mineral kingdom, probably the most critical one for cellulitis is going to be the mineral zinc.
Okay.
And so I think zinc is going to be really critical to supplement with, unless you tell me that you eat seafood from the ocean every day.
No, not every day. No. Maybe tuna and different things like that.
Well, you do
probably
like seafood,
three times
don't you?
A week. I'm sorry?
I said you do like seafood, don't you?
Well, yeah, I try to.
You know what I read about a year ago? Guess how fast a bluefin tuna can swim under the ocean water?
I have no idea.
70 miles an hour. That's just incredible. I can't even
believe
it.
Good Lord.
Could you imagine with your Zebco 33 rod and reel trying to catch one of those? You'd probably rip it out of my hand. I'd say sayonara to my Zebco.
Like a swordfish.
You ain't kidding. Super
fast. Is that the Japanese fish that's like worth $1 million? I mean, I've heard about this fish.
Yeah, pretty much. Whether it's $1 million or $10,000, it's still worth a lot, right?
Yeah, even over 50, it'd still be worth a lot to me.
You know what? I've got this article in front of me, and I'm not going to read it right now, but they're talking about what do people do when they live a long time above the age of 100? And, I mean, it's just right here in black and white. They eat meat. There's no vegetarians. It just doesn't exist. Now, that doesn't mean I'm trying to be critical of somebody that relies on vegetables only because... I mean, I've come to terms with it. You've got to have vegetables to have a well-functioning, oiled immune system. You're not going to do it otherwise. But this is interesting. And all these people above the age of 100, they eat more meat than people that don't make it to 100. So I find that very, very fascinating.
Well, that's something I can do. I stay away from fried foods, but I do try to eat, you know, hamburger helper sometimes, and every once in a while I get a ribeye. But I try to, you know, do that.
Well, does your neighbor have a cow in the pasture you could borrow?
Right down the road.
I mean, they probably wouldn't notice, or is that called rustling?
Well, I live in Rusk, so there's a lot of cows out there to rustle.
Hey, would you believe me if I told you we've got all this wrong when it comes to cows? Totally wrong. The more cows that we have on the planet, the better the health of the planet is. That's exactly the opposite of what they're telling us right now. They're saying cows are generating greenhouse gases. They take too much water to produce beef. Well, that's just a big bunch of baloney. If you want to have a desert, get rid of the cows. You're going to have a desert. The more cows equal the more green farmlands.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you so much for your phone call. I hope I've given you enough to get started.
Well, you live in Jacksonville. I might come and see you someday.
Well, it's a long way away from Rusk. What, 10 minutes?
I think it's like 10 miles.
Okay, maybe 15 minutes then. Okay, thank you, ma'am. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, there's a phone line open. 903-586-5257. This program is Health Essentials. If you'd like to call and ask a question or make a comment, please feel free to do so. Okay, good morning. How are you doing today?
I am doing fine.
I love it.
A little background on me is I had my hip replaced last March, or February, and then I got an infection, and then they put a PICC line in me, and then I had 6 months of antibiotics, and then when I got off of it, I got this terrible sore throat that wouldn't go away. And so I took another round of antibiotics, which I don't like to do. And now my salivatory glands are stuck in the on position. It seems like at times when I think about it that I'm thinking about a lemon or something. I get that feeling back there, but I just have to swallow a lot because they're on, so I don't think I'm drinking as much water because I'm not as thirsty. Mm-hmm. Are they going to quit? Am I going to develop a dry mouth, you know, one day because they've depleted themselves?
They just play out and they run out of fuel.
Yeah.
I don't want them to do that. Of course, you don't either. No. Well, I'm gonna say it this way, and I realize this is just different, so just hear me out here.
Okay.
Your immune system, this maybe is not a great analogy, but just play along with me like it makes sense. Let's just say we're in Pearl Harbor before the Japanese attacked in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the Japanese tried to scout out, you know, the number of battleships and aircraft carriers and whatever other, you know, vessels were there for them to destroy, what they would do is they would have a small submarine where they would try to sneak in so they can do some recognizance and, you know, figure out how are we going to do this attack here. Well, sometimes in these bays or the harbors, they would put these sea mines. Do you kind of have an image of what I'm talking about?
Right, yep.
And so if they hang them from a chain and an anchor or a concrete block, they're trying to kind of suspend them at a certain depth that they think that, hey, maybe these submarines, if they come into a harbor and they just touch one of these mines, kaboom, it'll blow them up and therefore we'll be protected from like an enemy attack. You get the idea, don't you?
Sure.
Well, the most common immunoglobulin that your body manufactures is called secretory IgA. So sometimes on a lab test, it looks like a small S with a capital I and then a GA. Okay, secretory IgA. Every square inch of this is supposed to, every square inch of your nose and your saliva producing glands and your tongue and the back of the throat, it is supposed to be literally covered with secretory IgA. That way, if, for example, a bacteria called Streptococcus, if it enters the back of your throat, It's almost like a submarine that bumps into one of these sea mines and boom, it blows a hole into the cell wall of the bacteria. And when you have a bacteria where the cell wall's exploded, it's really easy for your white blood cells to eat those suckers. And when they do, that's usually where pus comes from, things like that. And so if your salivary glands are stuck into the on position, well, my first thought is, well, why would that be? Why would they be generating? Well, it's because you're harboring either a lot of bacteria in your body that don't belong, that are resistant to antibiotics, or your immune system is just becoming tired and exhausted. Now, I'm not saying that to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to call it like it is. And so we have to kind of tap into, well, what do we do to improve this? And so it's like anything else. It's either we believe in the germ theory or we believe in what's called the terrain theory. And the terrain theory is, if your tissues are so strong and so vital and robust, well, they can resist an infection. You got to remember, infections always go where the tissues are the weakest. So, as an example, if somebody comes in contact with somebody that's got the coronavirus or the COVID, the Delta variant, if they tell me their lungs start hurting and they can't breathe and they got gunk in them, then you know their weakest system is their lungs. If they tell you they have the sore throat from hell, well, guess what it does? It attacks the weakest tissue. If the heart's the weakest, well, that's where the coronavirus is going to go, and thus so on and so forth. And so the question is, what are we going to do to kind of get your body back to where the saliva glands aren't just blasting nonstop? Now, the hip issue, for all I know, you got a piece of debris in there that we need to pull out that's causing this infection. Most likely that's the case. Sometimes I'll use aloe vera to take care of that, but that may be like a slightly different topic. But here's what I would say. We've got to get your body to repair itself as rapidly as possible. And so we want to help give it a break. If you have a chronic low-grade infection, well, you might have to do some things to upregulate your immune system. Now, what I would prefer to do, I'd probably give you what's called calf thymus extract. That's what you give the immune system when it's a little bit worn down and exhausted. And so my interpretation of these matters is as follows. If somebody says they can't shake something, if they're getting tighter, then I just quickly go to, all right, your body's exhausted. It can't fight anymore. It's not able to heal. It is what it is. So let's just take care of it. So thymus extract. You ever heard of that?
Well, from listening to you, yes.
So that may be one thing that you really, really want to look into. The other thing that I would have you do is, I think for probably the next 3 days, I would just have you just fast. Give your immune system a complete break. If you want to take thymus extract or supplements to bolster your immune system, that'd be fine by me. But I would probably have you take a half a gallon of water, put the juice of 2 lemons in it, about a teaspoon of Celtic salt, and then about 6 ounces of frozen grape concentrate, and just make your own Gatorade and start sipping that throughout the day. You're not going to die. You're going to rehydrate your body, and you're going to give your immune system a rest from fighting the continual infection. And if you don't digest food, your body gets to use its energy elsewhere. And
okay,
so then the other thing is, you got to start really hitting the fermented foods. And that's the easiest thing I could tell you is, go get some raw sauerkraut and start eating that all day long. This stuff is amazing what it does to recondition the linings of your urine, of your mucous line membranes.
Now, when you say raw,
that means in the refrigerator. Yeah.
It's mixed with vinegar?
Doesn't have to be. It could have a little bit of vinegar in it, but when I say raw, it usually is going to be in the refrigerated department because it hasn't been pasteurized. If you purchase sauerkraut off the store shelf, oh yeah, it still tastes great. I like it. But if you get the raw stuff, that's the stuff that's living, it's alive, it's going to have enzymes and minerals and nutrients and just a boatload of microbes and bacteria that you need for optimal function. So you've got both prebiotics, you've got probiotics, you've got fructooligosaccharides. Sauerkraut's incredible.
Okay.
And so
I'd rather eat pickles.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, that's fine. You can get raw pickles.
Okay.
Now, in my mind, I'm thinking about vitamin A right now. You got to have vitamin A to defeat infections. You got to have zinc to defeat infections. If an infection's out of control, I just go straight to thymus extract because the stuff works. Okay. You got to understand the largest gland of the human immune system is called the thymus gland. It does not get enough talk or conversation or press. It should. But I understand why it doesn't, because if you talk about the thymus gland, you can't be talking about the endless supply of drugs they want you to be on. I mean, I don't think I fell off the turnip truck yesterday, but there's a whole bunch of people that want you to be customers for life, and I'm not one of them. You know, I take that back. I don't mind being paid by you for me to help you. That's what my job is.
Right.
But I want you to be well. I don't want this to be an endless merry-go-round where you're sick all the time. That's where your body needs closure. You need to bring this to a screeching halt because you've healed the body. And so these are things that you can start doing right now to try to help your immune system. But if you can really start shoveling in the sauerkraut, yes, you could have some yucky stuff come out of you, but you want that to happen. And so
Right. The
other element, anytime that you've got an issue with salivary glands, I've got to think about the mineral called iodine.
Oh, my wife got me on that, but it does something with metal in your body. And so I stopped taking it because my hips started hurting.
Well, I have another possibility for you. Iodine is what your immune system uses to secrete onto a virus or bacteria to kill it.
Okay.
And so if your hips start hurting, yeah, you want to make sure it's a food-based source of iodine. That's why if you eat sardines or mackerel, what else do you like to eat? Flounder?
None of that.
That is the wrong answer.
I stay away from... I saw Jaws when I was in junior high. Never again. Never. Nothing from the ocean.
Well, rats, I was going to invite you to go fishing in 700 feet of water off the coast today, but I guess you're not going to go.
Right.
I was going to have you throw some chum overboard to see what happens.
Right.
Okay. Well, if you do eat seafood, that's going to be a rich source of iodine.
Right.
And maybe one of the superfoods you could play with is just kelp.
Yeah, I've been wrapped up in it, but it hasn't been in my mouth.
Well, that's the part I need you to get wrapped up in. Once you wrap your tongue around that, buddy. Okay, but you got to have some iodine. So it may be that we need to find a form of iodine that's very agreeable to you. And so there's food-based forms of iodine. And I understand
right.
If it made your hip hurt, I respect that. But you got to have your immune system has got to be able to clean up whatever debris in your hip so this is not a continual source of infection for your body.
Right.
You know what? Here's the truth of it. Your immune system is backed into a corner right now. We're either going to feed it and nourish it where it can do its job to right the ship and correct all this and turn it around, or you're going to lose because, you know what, you can't take antibiotics forever.
No, and I'm off of them.
Okay, well, and I realize they're there if you need them. I'm all for that.
Right.
But what I want to do is I want to try to find a way to greatly feed and assist your immune system in doing exactly what it's supposed to do so you can have closure. I think what I would do is a simple experiment is I would take aloe vera, a leaf, a fresh leaf, and
yes,
just fillet
it.
Good. Fillet it right down the middle to make it kind of flat and broad and gooey as possible, and just lay that directly over the scar where they did the surgical incision for your hip replacement.
Okay.
I know. Just trust me on this. But if you'll tape it over there at night when you go to bed, tell me what color that aloe vera leaf is when you wake up in the morning. And you know what? If it's pulling some gunk and debris through that surgical scar from the hip, it may look kind of like a black purple color. It's weird, but I've seen that work over and over again. So in your case, you need to be taking aloe vera capsules every single day orally.
Well, can I fillet a piece and stick it on my tongue and just suck on it?
Absolutely you can.
Okay.
If you had hemorrhoids, you could use it as a suppository. That's slightly a joke, but still true. Okay, yeah, you can do all those things, and you can drink aloe vera juice, and you can have the gel, but you could take the dried gel capsules, and those are awesome. They're cheap, too. Go to the health store, like Drug Emporium, Natural Grocer, The Granary, Sprouts. Take them.
Okay.
If you do that, then we can start reconditioning the lining of your gut and helping your immune system.
Okay.
So we got to get rid of the chronic low-grade infections that you're housing in your body.
Right.
So I say we put up an eviction notice. So go ahead and tell them they're not welcome anymore. Get out of Dodge. Your welcome is not welcome any longer. Go.
Okay, so you... I'm just drinking lemon water today then.
Well, if you want to put some grape in it and a little bit of sea salt, that would be perfect to really achieve what you want to achieve.
Right. Okay.
And I'm looking forward to hearing what your results are, but this is a starting plan to try to get you back to where you need to be.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you very much for your phone call. I've enjoyed every bit of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Bye.
All right. I think I only have what? Okay. I got 10 seconds left. That's not enough time for a phone call. I've really enjoyed being with you today, Lord willing. I'll be back this time next week at 7 o'clock. And you're listening to Health Essentials, KBGS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.